All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast edition, off-season edition, where we don't stop, won't stop. That was lame. But Jeremy Moss here, Matt Kennerly along for the ride to help me not make any errors. And we're here to go, right? Football talk all the time.
For sure.
So off-season week, should we keep track of off-season week number X, or would that be too depressing?
No, unless we're counting it down. But then we'd have to figure out how many weeks there were, and right now,
it's a lot.
That seems like it seems like too much work.
However, it did get moved up a couple of days because Wyoming's now moved their, or not Wyoming, but San Diego State moved up their opener versus Stanford one more day.
Nice.
Which means, we'll get our website real quick, mwwire.com, Instagram, we're there too, Mountain West Wire, all that fun stuff, Twitter, MWCWire, get the business out of the way, but you know what that means? If it's Friday night, which Stanford fans are pissed about, not on the Pac-12 Network. Better not be on the Pac-12 Network.
Fingers crossed, right?
Probably FS1, I'm thinking.
That's the best case scenario.
Well, Pac-12 has ESPN deal as well.
Yeah.
But I believe Friday night's not going to be a Pac-12 game. So, yeah. Bryce Love, we'll obviously talk about that later, but I just remembered one day sooner. But tonight, here's what we're talking about. Yes, we will briefly mention the Super Bowl at the end of the show, because why not? We're going to talk a little recruiting, because signing day is officially, we haven't done too much on signing day, but it is next, it's officially next Wednesday the 8th, right?
Yes, I think so.
Let's just double check here. That's some research we probably should have done before. because there's two signing days now, so we forget, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because, you know, there have been some kind of narrative wrinkles that have taken some time to sort themselves out. You know, I know Boise State fans were worried for a week or two about finding a quarterback in this year's class and things like that. But
they're good.
That all got settled in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe not quite as much drama. I think most of that we knocked out with the first signing day.
Mm-hmm. It's February 7th, which is today's February 1st, Thursday, so a week from 6 days from now. Or next Wednesday, whatever you're listening to this, Wednesday the 7th. But we'll talk about that stuff later on. We're going to talk a little Senior Bowl stuff because stuff actually happened that was somewhat interesting in that game. And then also we're going to move ahead to 2018 as always. We talked about our super duper early picks last week, stupid upset picks. If you haven't listened, I made a separate track, so you're welcome, so that it'll last longer because why would I listen to Senior Bowl and an early preview? That's dumb, right?
Yes.
So here's what we want to look forward into that. If you haven't listened already, Matt and I make a pick for a conference championship game without the favorites. So take your stab. Not San Jose State. I'll give you that much.
Yes.
All right. So let's just get into Senior Bowl. Did you? What did you take out from the Senior Bowl with? We got Josh Allen, Rashard Penny, Michael Gallup, Nick Bodden. Who was the San Diego State guy? Cameron Kelly nearly had a pick. And there was also Travion Thompson, I believe, from Hawaii.
Travion Thompson. Travion Henderson.
Henderson, sorry, I apologize. But good showing, right? League did pretty well.
I think some people made themselves some money, if we're being totally honest. And I mean, maybe we're kind of wearing out the narrative a little bit, and there's still, 2.5 months to go. But I think you kind of have to start with Josh Allen, because, you know, I think we were both maybe a little bit skeptical of how he was going to look on the field. But, you know, he might have been the best guy out there. Of course, you know, Kyle LaLetta ended up throwing 3 touchdowns. But, you know, both of the touchdowns that Allen ended up having were pretty impressive throws. You know, the kinds of throws that, you know, we've seen him make every so often in practice. You know, the kinds of throws that we've seen him make, you know, on occasion, you know, the Sports Center worthy throws mm-hmm. that, you know, he's made in the past. But this is the first time in a long time that I think we've seen him be as consistent in that regard. So, you know, it wasn't just that, you know, he had a couple touchdown throws, is that he was 9 of 13, and there weren't that many, you know, of the overthrows that we were seeing in practice and that we've kind of seen in gameplay in the past. So, you know, even if the, you know, the conversation about the number one overall pick is still up in the air, I don't think there's any doubt that he solidified himself as a guy who's going in the top 10 easy.
Not if you're Mel Kiper. He doubled down saying he's number one still. Still saying.
Yeah, but then again, you could also make the argument that, you know, 9 of 13, whatever, stats are for losers.
There's that too. Hey, speaking of that, who wants a t-shirt? We have another t-shirt, which I can't believe it took me a week plus to figure out that's a brilliant idea. So over at BreakingTea.com, actually go to our website and get our link there because we get a couple bucks if you purchase a shirt. I think they're $25. Not a bad price for that type of deal. Hats, obviously a Wyoming gold and brown. Basically, would you call it a centaur, Matt? Is that what we came up with, I believe?
That's kind of what it looks like.
It's a,
but I mean, when you consider, you know, the Allen's kind of strength in the pocket, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and you got the, yeah, his size, 6'4", 230 plus, or 230, whatever. Just his stats are for losers. So stats across the top, bottom are for losers. So if you want to check it out, you want a cool shirt, help us out and help yourself out looking good. I've received my Boise State National Title shirt, still for sale, folks. Very comfortable. So pick that up if you want. But back to Allen, like, he started off poorly at the end of the second quarter, didn't look all that good. And one reason he got more playing time because Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma left the game. I think it wasn't his mother that was sick, and so he decided to play only for half to take out early.
Yeah.
So which people complaining about that? Grow up. Come on. Relax. Allen was able to play a lot more because of that, and then he ended up going, I think I wrote in the article, I think he went like 8 of 9 in the second half. Something pretty good. He had one throw that was pretty bad, an overthrow, but that was about it. I think it's a Cedric Wilson as well, but overthrown. Outside of that, he faked the camera guy out. He had a touchdown, two touchdowns, of course. He had one drive where I think he went 3 for 3 for like 60-something yards. But one thing I liked a lot was on that long drive for that first touchdown in the third quarter, there was times where he could have taken off and run early. He didn't. Or he took off and ran after going. You could tell he went through every 1, 2, 3, 4 options to see who's open, took off and ran when appropriate, and didn't try to chuck it downfield. Which is something I've complained about or noticed, or not complained, but point out to people who love him that, hey, go back to game A, B, or C where he would throw it downfield across his body, try to throw it out of bounds, but it doesn't, or he tries to run up the middle and fumbles the ball. He did not do that. He took care of the ball, went out of bounds when he needed to, ran only after waiting a good 3 to 6 seconds, what, 5-plus seconds in the pocket or so, a good enough time to say, nobody's open, I'm going to run, and gain yards here and there. And so that's a big improvement. I know it's one game. It's an all-star game. People did say he did better during the week, even though if you look at a video I post book in front of him wildly missing a stationary target where Baker Mayfield hit it right through the back of the net. I think we talked about that last week. But he did well, and it's still an all-star game. It's one little piece of the puzzle, like we mentioned last week. It's all sorts of stuff for how you can evaluate a guy. But he showed enough to me in the game where he learned, because a quarterback can look silly in an all-star game. They can look either really good or really bad because, oh, I'm going to make big plays or I'm just going to try to force something. It's not a big deal. He played well. He showed what I wanted to see. And then it's his mechanic thing, completion percentage is what you want to see. And then the touch. He threw softer passes, like screen passes, stuff like the fade to the end zone. Not really fade, but it's kind of a float. Not a floater, but how would you describe it? Like just a... I guess a soft toss essentially, where a good pass in the right direction, where it landed, where a timing throw, where the guy wanted to be, wasn't a bullet, wasn't a super hard throw, but just something over the top to the back of the corner where only his guy could get it, and he got it on the one where he faked out the camera work. So he, first round pick, there's still questions because it's like this type of game, but he obviously played very well and did better than what probably I thought, and he showed me things he didn't do during the regular season.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. And I mean, and you know, if you're a fan of the conference, you know, the better news is that he wasn't the only one.
Oh, yeah.
Who probably made himself a lot of money. You know, we talked a lot about Rashad Penny and not overreacting to a couple of shaky practices. And you know, he looked like a guy who could sneak into the first round. And, that's a lot of, you know, I mean, you could probably make the argument that he should have been in that conversation already. But, you know, he showed up in a big way and, you know, did more or less the kinds of things that we've seen him do week in and week out where, you know, what was it? He had like 120 yards of total offense.
I have it right here real quick. He had 64 rushing yards. He had 73 receiving yards. I think he averaged, and one thing I didn't mention in a recap, he had one kick return for 15 yards, which, okay, still 15 yards. He basically averaged almost 20 yards a touch.
It's pretty good.
I think he was also team MVP in the South, co-MVP, I believe. Something like that. But, man, did you see that catch he made? That's something we never seen him do. Not in a screen pass, but an actual sort of a downfield pass reception.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a swing pass, and it wasn't as though the coverage was bad. He had a guy like right on him that he was able to shake and then, you know, make one move, and he's basically off to the races from there. And so, you know, I mean, it's really hard to kind of add superlatives to what we've become accustomed to from him. And
but that throw, that catch and throw, like, was it Kevin LaLuta who threw that pass, or Kyle LaLuta? Was it him?
I believe. No, I think it was Kurt Benkert.
Okay, whatever it was, but he's getting pressured in the pocket, rolled out to the side. It's kind of like a wheel route almost, where it's like a swing and a wheel route where he went to the side and then cut up field. But the coverage was there. Like, it was a great throw over the top of the defender. And like you said, he caught it there, then made one sidestep. Like, we've seen Penny catch screen passes out of the backfield, but this was like an actual wide receiver type of catch.
Yeah.
But what else to add? Like, he had the fake to set up a touchdown. He had the TD there, the long 70-plus yarder. But, man. And then you have Michael Gallup, led the North team receiving, 3 for 60.
Pretty good effort.
Everybody. And then one thing that we do need to bring up, Cameron Kelly. Should have had an interception. Should have had that ball.
For sure.
He had it one-hander. It's like, oh, he drops it. And then, not to say and then every time, but Nick Bodden did not play. However, what's a fullback going to do, Matt? You know what I mean? What are they going to do?
Well, he's going to clear lanes for the running back. I mean, the 49ers made pretty good use of a fullback this year.
True, but you know what I mean? Like, in this type of game, but also there's a word that got a little, I think, a wrist or hand injury. Here's the thing, if you don't remember, Bodden used to be a quarterback for the Aztecs and started quite a few games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's guys reading Chris Burke from The Athletic. He does NFL coverage, and I think also Detroit Lions stuff in NFL for their website. But he's saying, like, he talked to NFL guys, like, Bodden's NFL ready, and we'll be on it, basically, in my opinion, we'll be on the roster next year. Maybe draft a fullback, maybe not be the best sexy or valuable pick, but maybe late round pick, possibly. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You take like a sixth or seventh round flyer on him. Well, let's also forget about Trayvon Henderson, who led the North in total tackles, ended up with a pass breakup and a half a tackle for a loss as well.
Everybody does. Well.
If he's like a late day two, early day three pick, I think that if you're a Hawaii fan, you got to be happy about that.
No kidding. And then really quick, a couple NFL draft notes. Like you mentioned, there's a couple mock draft picks. One thing we should mention: Alex Smith, the trade to the Redskins, could be a big deal in this. Could make some noise potentially for like trades and stuff. We'll get into that later. But one reason it's a big deal because. Well, the funniest thing is, I'm going to rant. Can I rant on that trade for a moment, Matt? Is that okay? Am I allowed?
Yes.
Okay, Alex Smith went to my University of Utah. He was with your 49ers, so you've seen him up close. He's been an okay quarterback, right? Most of his career.
I love Alex Smith, but continue.
I would say, but he's been okay. This past year, he played much better. Why are the Redskins or Team Washington giving him a guaranteed $70 million.
Probably because they're desperate.
But they could get... I know they could sign Kirk Cousins for like the franchise for 1 year, $34 million. But they probably don't want to do that every year because it's like the top five average quarterback. But all they gave up was a third-round pick and a young cornerback. But here's what's even more dumb for Washington's sake. Kirk Cousins is not signed. A lot of people say, they'll trade Cousins for some picks. They cannot trade Kirk Cousins. And if you think he's going to sign with them and help them out for a trade, you got to be crazy. So, but that could trickle down to the quarterback situation because he's a free agent. He could go to Arizona. There's a lot of places he could go to, no speculation really, but Cleveland, Giants. He's not going to go to the Giants. You'd see Cleveland, Arizona, without Carson Palmer. A lot of teams need a quarterback in the league. And Cousins is going to start anywhere he goes. So, if Cleveland does something for him, pays him a ton of money or whatever, that could impact the draft for Josh Allen's sake. But Cardinals look to be a good fit. He's still going in that range. Most people have about a 15. Right? I think that's for the Cardinals pick, but we'll see. One thing, too, I'm going to ask you, Matt. Have you seen Michael Gallup getting first-round pub?
I have.
Pro Football Focus, CBS. Do you think he could be the first wide receiver off the board?
You know, I haven't taken a good look at what the wide receiver class looks like, but, you know, I mean, he's got 2 years worth of production to back up his standing, so I don't see why not.
I guess the one guy's the SMU receiver, and we'll get into this stuff later, but I guess the Calvin Ridley guy from Alabama. But we'll get, like I said, we'll get into all this later, but seeing him creep up in the first round, CBS saying he could be sleeper, Pro Football Focus, but you missed it, Rashard Penny. First round pick? That's high praise.
I mean, I feel like what's going to happen is
he won't be?
You know, the Patriots are probably going to win the Super Bowl or something like that. And then they're going to use that, and then they're going to trade down from number 32 with some team that's dumb enough to trade up.
Suckers.
And then they're going to take, like, you know, pick number 35 or 36, and they're going to pick Rashad Penny, or they're going to pick, you know, Michael Gallup, and the rich is going to get richer. And, you know, we may all love Michael Gallup now, but when he's with the Patriots for a few years, we're probably all going to end up hating him and stuff like that. But that's just kind of what they do. That's just, you know, my sense of how things are going to go. They're going to take someone that we love, and they're going to make us hate him.
So him and Brandon Cooks, so you're telling me that's a good Danny Amendola? That'll be a good matchup, good class out there.
I mean, Danny Amendola's got to he's got to retire at some point, doesn't he?
Does he?
I don't know. Maybe,
we'll see. Then we're talking about, like, also the Patriots. Some guy on Twitter, I wish I had his name in front of me, was saying, like, well, Penny could go to the Patriots at 32. I'm like, well, Patriots kind of already have a lot of running backs.
I don't think that's likely to happen because the Patriots never draft running backs that high.
There's that too. I think LeGarrette Blount the first time when he was at the Patriots was drafted somewhat high. Like, that'd be a good fit because the way they use running backs, like with Deion Lewis, Blount, and everybody else who they have, like, I think it's since, like, Corey Dillon or something, a long while since they had, like, one big-time back taking the load to carry the ball as many times. But I don't know if it's Zeke in the first round. Like, that would be a good fit, but nowhere near that high because it's that high, and I don't think he's going to be, like, the third running back off the board. But if he's a guy, like, we know can return kicks, he can catch the ball a little bit. I don't know. I think he's going to move up because he just makes plays. That's all there's to it. It doesn't matter who he plays. He does a good job.
Yeah.
I think we're good with draft stuff. Now we'll get to that later. That was a good 17 minutes there.
All right.
I guess let's do let's go to recruiting because we got signing day we mentioned. We'll go to the early preseason stuff next week. Like we said, we haven't done a ton of recruiting. Matt, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you follow recruiting? Like, Fresno State recruiting.
Is it possible to go, like, outside the scale?
You mean lower or higher?
Like a lower number?
That's fine.
I'm just like, you know, I mean, you know, stars and everything are fine, but, like, just let me see him on the field. Let me just look at that, you know?
I would like to note, are you looking at the 24/7 recruiting composite page at the moment?
I am.
Can you scroll down to New Mexico football?
Oh, yes.
I'm going to make a dumb thing I was going to mention. I briefly looked. I thought that was the Wolfpack logo for a second.
No.
I think I need to wear my glasses or something. Regardless, let's start the Lobos. They have 9 total guys. We're not gonna go through each team, but they only got 9 guys taken or signed, I guess, not taken, but like I said, early signing day, most teams have everybody in place. I guess with the Lobos, with them getting the new offensive coordinator, that's a big deal. But it's not a surprise. Boise State's at the top. I am surprised at Fresno State because last year wasn't Tedford, didn't they have him like top 4, I believe?
I think he ended up 3rd. I mean, I'm not sure if it says that 24/7 Sports is up to date, but if you go to New Mexico's site with all of their signings, they have 12 people listed. So I'm not sure what the discrepancy is.
Okay, but you'll get about 25 to 30 guys because right now Boise has what? Oh shoot, my page is gone. 23, it looks like. Is that correct?
According to 24/7 Sports says they have the most as well as, well, no, they don't have the most, but Colorado State has 23 as well. And then Nevada is actually the team that's making a lot of moves. They, you know, we probably won't be hearing a lot from them next week because they already have 24 people signed.
Same with Boise. So like the teams you'll hear from, Aztecs is 17, Fresno, San Jose, Air Force is 25, but that's fine. They send like 40 guys cause they can. But yeah, Wyoming, UNLV, and part of the Utah State, part of these rankings, like Boise number 1, or say Hawaii number 5, or Fresno 6, part of this goes off total points and average points.
Mm-hmm.
And so once Fresno reels in their class, they'll probably jump Hawaii. Who knows what San Diego State will do. But, like, overall, none of these guys are going to really make an impact this next year. There might be some JUCO guys. And, like I said, we haven't followed that closely, but the best guy overall is, like, I think it's Khalil Shakir for Boise State. Highest rated guy, list athlete. I think he's a wide receiver. I was looking for this article. It's an ESPN article I never found. But they do a cool thing every year, or at least the past year or two, where they do the early top 25 rankings, obviously. But they do take a category in quarterback or running back or top receiver or something. Oh, here it is, impact freshman. I finally found it after 20 minutes here, Matt. I found it.
Good job.
So top 25, it's no waiting for impact freshman for their preseason top 25 teams. And Boise State's ranked 17. Yeah, so Shakir, he had offers from Arizona, BC, Colorado, UCLA, Washington State, Illinois. They say his offensive game is versatile. He can play outside slot. He's been a returner, running back. So if he can do all those things, that could be a guy who knows what he'll do. But he'll be a guy who can come out and play right away because Boise needs a kicker. Well, they don't really need a returner, but if he's the highest rated guy in the conference, he goes to Boise State, who only get a couple four-star guys maybe every other year, maybe one year at most. He could be a guy who sees time early, and if you can play as a true freshman, you're pretty good, right?
Yeah, and I mean, even though he might be the number one guy, it's kind of interesting seeing who's considered a part of the conversation as far as being in that best handful of players. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, Colorado State signed a guy, Devin Phillips, who defensive tackle, 6'2", 305 pounds. You know, he's rated as a three-star guy, but nationally, I think he's the only guy, at least according to 24/7 Sports, that is listed in the top 1,000 or something like that.
No, there's a guy better than that. Scroll down. Oh, I guess true freshman. Never mind. Because there's the Damian Dixon, who's top one, basically 160. But I think that's JUCO ranks. But still.
Yeah, because it's interesting if you look at ESPN as well, they have a list of all the individual commitments. The team rankings, I guess, are beside Insider, but it's really interesting to see who's highly ranked, because Shakir, for instance, is rated as an 80, so is Phillips, but then the only other guy in the conference who's ranked that high, actually I'm trying to find it. Okay, never mind. Those are the only two that are ranked 80. But there are several guys who are ranked at 79, which I think is really interesting. And one of those guys, coincidentally enough, also happens to be a Boise State signee, Cameron Thomas. But, among those other guys, Fresno State signed a guy who's ranked that high, Isaiah Johnson. And, even though New Mexico has a very small class, they brought in a guy from Mount San Jacinto College, who ranks it as 79 as well, Sherrion Jones. And Wyoming as well also brought in a quarterback who, coincidentally enough, maybe he's the next Josh Allen.
What?
That might be putting too much hype on him, but
maybe.
.. He is from an outerlying community here in the Central Valley. Sean Chambers was a Rutgers recruit. Flipped his commitment to Wyoming. So
you're saying, so what I get from that, Jeff Tedford missed a guy?
No, I don't think that was on Tedford. I think that maybe that was on
prior.
That might have been on DeRuiter in that last staff.
The prior administration.
Yeah, and also, Fresno State, I think, already had their guy. They had, I believe, signed one or two guys last year. So, not going to fault them too much for that. But
as for ESPN rankings, they only rank the top 50 teams, so.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get much.
Oh, okay.
So, because I went there and pulled it just so curious to see, they only do the top 50, and their website's being weird. But what you want to take out of all this stuff, if you have JUCO guys, New Mexico brings in some JUCO guys, I mentioned CSU. But one thing I like about CSU, look where all their coaches are coming from. Bobo from SEC or from the Southeast. They brought in, I guess not the Alabama guy anymore, but the new DC was formerly Tennessee, coach of Kentucky. Look where these guys are from. Devin Phillips, Louisiana. Daquan Jackson, Florida. Louisiana, Taiwan, France. All these guys. We got a couple of California guys. Mississippi, you have a guy in Ohio. They have guys everywhere across the country. South Carolina, Damon Daly, defensive tackle. They have all these guys on the East Coast and South. A couple guys from Georgia. They do have a couple guys from Colorado. Part of the reason for that, D1 talent in the state of Colorado is not just a quantity is not there, and neither is the quality overall, typically. So, like, they're going to this, they're going across the country. Like, I see Arizona, California, Nebraska, Missouri, they go everywhere, but a lot of guys in that recruiting ground, because you go where you know players, where there's a lot of players, and then also you coach out there for however many decades. So that's always something interesting to look at. Like San Jose, I believe, sticks to in-state mostly. Like there is what when they had a decent recruiting class a couple years ago for that one guy, I think it was a receiver, got kicked off for some assault or something. Like he was going to USC but changed to San Jose. Like that year, I think they had like 22 of 25 from the state of California. And look, and looking at their class right now, every single player signed is from the state of California. And it's like, why?
That does not surprise
me. It's like, same with Fresno. They probably have, what, 90% from the same with San Diego State. Within the state of California, it's probably 90% plus of in-state guys.
Yeah, I mean, they've made a, at least here at Fresno State, I know that they've made it an explicit priority to recruit more locally, which is why you get guys like, you know, for instance, Rodney Wright III, who, if you remember Rodney Wright from back in the day, you know, pretty good pickup for, you know, another wide receiver who could be, you know, the next Jameer Jordan or something like that. And, you know, Emory Edwards from Tulare Union, who I've heard a lot of really good things about. I haven't had a chance to see him play live, but a lot of people seem to be excited by the fact that he's coming to Fresno State. But, you know, they got, you know, someone from Modesto. They got, you know, more than a few people from here and here in town. And, you know, that's just kind of how that how they prioritized. So even though, at least according to the rankings, it doesn't jump off the page, like right now, according to 24/7, they're ranked sixth in the conference, I don't think a lot of people are complaining because, you know, especially as far as the skill position guys that they're bringing in, I think there's a lot of excitement around those guys.
And like I said, they have 17. They'll move up because looking at Nevada, they're sitting at third at 24. Again, the more players you have now, that's how it's weighted a little bit. But Nevada's bringing in 14 three-star players. So they, it seems like they're buying in to maybe this, that second half of the year. Look what the offense can do. Because two of their top three recruits play offense. And then maybe like they bring this guy in from West Arizona Western, a defensive tackle. He's huge, 6'4", 295, Tristan Nichols. That guy's probably going to start right away because the defense is so terrible. Two things when your team's not very good. If you're not good in defense and you're a really good player, maybe you are not, maybe not really good is the right phrase, but you know you can come in and play right away. Everybody has a different reason. I'm going to come for this coach. I'm coming for, I like the city. I'm coming here because my dad went here, my mom went here. There's all sorts of different reasons. But one reason is for playing time. Especially if you're a JUCO guy, you don't want to go somewhere and maybe register to even sit for a year. You want to come in and play as quickly as possible. So I could see that guy coming in, being a huge D tackle, taking over that spot because it's been bad. And then offense, Nevada's offense, like, not to get too far ahead of next year, we'll kind of move into that area in a second, but they might be like the, they'll be a top third offense minimum, I'm saying. Top four team in offensive production.
Well, they're bringing in some really intriguing pieces. Like, you know, the measurements on some of these guys are a little bit different. But for instance, they're bringing in a three-star guy, a tight end, Cole Turner, who, you know, according to ESPN, he's 6'7" and 209 pounds.
Wait. 6'7", 209?
Yeah.
Give that guy some food.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if the, you know, if he goes into like a, you know, a training regimen that's, you know, befitting of a college athlete, like he could be the kind of, you know, monster that a run and shoot offense, that a, you know, spread offense can really use, you know. And not only that, you know, there was a lot of, you know, hubbub about Toa Taua, for instance. You know, the younger brother of Vai Taua, if you remember from back in the day.
Triple header, 1,000-yard rushing team.
Yeah, three-star guy, four-star in some places. And, you know, it's not as though Nevada is completely stacked at running back. So, you know, we've seen them, you know, show some initiative in getting young guys playing time. We saw that most, you know, most clearly with someone like McLean Mannix, for instance. So, you know, if he's a guy who can come in, you know, he's not necessarily a big guy. He's only 5'10", 190 pounds, at least according to, you know, SanLuisObispo.com. But, you know, maybe he's a guy who could come in and make an impact right away on the ground game, because we know Nevada is going to be able to throw the ball all over the place. If they can get a running game that helps them a little bit more, like we started to see near the end of last year, could make them a really interesting team.
Okay, quick question. I got some more tight end news here. Who was the tight end you mentioned? Was it Cole Turner?
Cole Turner, yes.
So 24/7 lists him 6'6", 193.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Then, like, this dude, he's tall and thin.
Then they got Ryan Smith, tight end from Granite Bay, 6'7", 220.
Also very interesting.
I guess if you're that, I don't know, 220 might be, it's still a little thin, I'm thinking, because I'm 6'4", and I'm about, what, 235, 230 at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy's like 3 inches taller than me, and I weigh more than him.
Kind of wild, right?
It's weird. I don't know. What do you think they should be, like 235 maybe, if you're a tight end? If depending if they're receiving tight end, I think a little bit more weight, right?
I think it, you know, put on 20, 30 pounds, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Dude, 6'7", 250, bam.
For sure.
Put that guy to left tackle in the NFL.
Right?
I guess the only other note here, Boise State was freaking out because they didn't have a quarterback. Calm down, guys. You're good. Relax, you have quarterback. Because I think the guy, I forget where he went, he decommitted. There is a slight chance this guy who lived in, we mentioned last week, was it Cooper Kamen, I think, who's at Washington State. Mm-hmm. Like, he was going to go to BYU, had Boise on his radar, decided not to, but they'll be fine. I think they're signing one quarterback, if that's correct, or two. Dual threat guys, like a Dimitri Washington out of Solana Beach, and then Jalon Henderson, who's a JUCO guy from Texas, so.
Well, they also got a commitment from Riley Smith.
Oh, maybe that,
out of Florida.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Okay, maybe that's the. Oh, that's him. He's not signed yet. I'm looking at the only. I wish I had verbal commits on here. That kind of threw me off with this new setup. Mm-hmm. But no, that's the guy I'm thinking of. So they have three quarterbacks, and Riley Smith is the guy. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk more football, right, Matt?
Oh yeah.
All right, let's look ahead to 2018 again, because that's what we do here. And also, programming note, you know what we're going to do next week, Matt?
What are we doing next week?
Probably your favorite podcast of the year.
Which one? Which is?
You know what that is.
Oh, are we doing March Shredness?
Is it time?
It is.
Heavy metal, right? Is that the bracket?
It is 1980s hair metal.
Oh.
And by the way, if you're interested, the play-in games, you know, what you would call like the equivalent of the first four, mm-hmm. They're going on right now, so you can always hit pause on the podcast, go to marchshredness.com, or you can find them on Twitter at marchshredness. You can find a link to the playlist that I made for them, so you can listen to all the songs. You can visit the website here, the music videos there as well. But we're going to dig into this. We're going to get Eli in on this, probably talk Brandon back into doing this again. It's going
to
be good.
I need to study up because I'm not too familiar with this type of music. I am a little, really? A little bit. I'm just.
I grew up on this stuff.
The stuff we had last time, one hit was it 90s one hit wonders? Is that what it was?
Yes.
There was some good stuff. Like I don't know. I know some of this, but it's not stuff I typically listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll send out Eli, which is fun to make fun of because of his age a little bit. To go through this, and I'm sure we'll have Brandon. We'll, assuming it's his type of music. So, Brandon, if you're listening, shoot us a message. We'll chat with you as well. But there's stuff, a lot of songs in here. Is there some, what we got here? Oh, that's the wrong thing I'm looking at, but we'll get to it later. Check out March Shredness. If you have Spotify or don't, sign up at least for a week and then listen, right? Get familiar with this stuff. And we put a post on Facebook too. So, here's what we're going to do. Let's get to 2018 really quick that we're going to, I guess two things. We're going to combine this in two things. Bill Connolly, good buddy, Football Study Hall, Football Outsiders, SB Nation, did a cool article about 2018 returning production. And I'm going to say, I'm going to call it right now that I was smart last week saying the Mountain West American are going to flip with, like, you wanted three teams ranked. It's going to flip next year. I'm calling it again right now. And his numbers back me up.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that returning production is everything, but like if you look at the article, and maybe we can link to it in the website article that we do.
Definitely.
You know, you'll see that there's like a lot of correlations between like how a team does in year one, what they return for year two, and then how successful they are. You know, how much progress an offense makes as far as like points per game, yardage gained, and stuff like that. So like one of the big things, for instance, is, you know, receiving yards that someone returns. You know, there's a couple of teams at the top of the list, especially on offense, that are going to be really strong in that regard. And I think, you know, you start looking at Fresno State and Nevada, for instance. You know, those two teams ranked in the top 15 overall, but I think a lot of what the numbers are looking at the fact that they're returning a lot of guys at wide receiver and at quarterback, mm-hmm. for instance. You know, both of those guys, you know, Ty Gangi and Marcus McMarion, definitely at least in the, you know, top four, top five quarterbacks in the conference, above the median, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're stacked at wide receiver. You know, they got, you know, Keyshawn Johnson, Jameer Jordan back for one last go around. You know, McClain Mannix, Brendan O'Leary Orange, on the other hand. So even though there's a contrast of styles between those two teams, they're going to have, you know, more success in the passing game next year, I think, than they did this year. And, you know, for Fresno State, most pronounced, it was those third down situations, the passing down situations that they had a lot of trouble with. And I think that with an entire offseason to work with the whole offense, that, you know, the ceiling is really high for that team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though Nevada's coming off of a season where they only won two games, you know, with as much offensive production as they have coming back, you know, I think it's not outside the question that they could fight their way back to bowl eligibility if the offense is explosive mm-hmm. enough and they take a step forward in efficiency.
And one thing I noticed looking through this correlation, like what matters most to being a good team with returning talent, mm-hmm. receiving yards, which favors, like you mentioned, Fresno State, Nevada, it'll favor quite a bit for who they've returned. And then also basically the passing game. If you're good on passing offense and passing defense, typically you're in good shape. And that's kind of interesting that the passing game would carry that much weight.
And that's what makes a team like Boise State really interesting mm-hmm. by these metrics, because on the one hand, they're losing a ton of production on offense. And, you know, overall, they don't rank quite as highly. You know, they rank only 42nd overall. But if you want to look specifically at defensive returning production, you know, some of those big things you mentioned, pass defenses, you know, especially at defensive back, mm-hmm. you know, the overall tackles correlation, they lead the Mountain West in defensive returning production. So, you know, we can talk more about it at length. You know, Brett Rippon's coming back, but you know, he's going to have a host of different weapons around him. Madison's coming back. But it's those guys in the secondary, you know, with another year together that could really make or break this team's New Year's Day chances next year.
Gotcha. Okay, I was like, where are you looking at this stuff at? I was looking at sorting by total returning. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're top 10 there. It's... And here's the thing, too. Like, one thing to note, like, well, it's all relative. San Jose State returns 90% of its offense, but they were just terrible last year. It's like, how much better can... I know with Montel Aaron, he's the quarterback. He showed some good things when he's playing, but I believe, isn't Billy Freeman gone with the Spartans?
Well, Billy Freeman was long.
Oh gone, no!
But last year there was Josh Oliver was there.
Oh, who am I thinking of then? Maybe I forget. Maybe it's somebody else. But yeah, it's good to have that back, obviously. But how much difference is that going to make?
Well, I mean, I think in that particular case, you know, what you have going on is you had a redshirt freshman quarterback who's going to be going into his second year as a starter, probably unquestioned as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had a couple of freshman running backs last year who came on late, like Tyson Parker, for instance. And then, you know, as far as wide receivers are concerned, I think Tim Crawley is graduating. But, you know, you look at what their roster looks like from last year, they have a ton of receivers coming back mm-hmm. who could play a pretty significant role. Like you know, Justin Holmes, I think, is going to be – he's a senior. He's probably their unquestioned kind of veteran guy. But, you know, Bailey Gaither had some moments last year. He's back. Jaquan Blackwell had some plays. Trey Walker had some opportunities to play. So it's a young team, and, you know, it may still not be pretty in a lot of weeks next year, but it's the kind of team that's going to grow together. And I think that that's, you know, how you would look at that particular situation relative to some of the other more successful teams from last year.
I agree. It's just... Like, every production does lead to results. You still got to have talent.
That's true.
And so, like, look, but one thing overall, like the Mountain West, like, looking at a total returning overall really quick, you had, what did you say, Boise was top 10, was that right? Or no, Fresno State overall is 12th in the country. They have 74% offense, 79% defense. Nevada, 78%. And Wyoming, even losing Josh Allen, they're inexperienced. They bring a lot of guys back, about the same top 20 range. That's why I'm thinking with the Nevada case, while I guess if you're listening now, that was my pick if I'm not going with like Aztecs or Bulldogs. Nevada, mm-hmm. I think they could potentially make the biggest jump next year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree, because not only are they returning a lot of offense, you know, the defense, a little bit rough at times last year, but mm-hmm. they have a lot of returning production as well, which definitely counts for something.
You know what else helps? Playing San Jose State, playing Hawaii, who lost their quarterback and wide receiver, playing teams like that and that aren't that good at the moment.
Yeah, that's definitely true, because, you know, you look at the teams facing the biggest deficits. And, you know, Hawaii obviously had Drew Brown transfer. They had
Dylan Colley. They
had Dylan Colley transfer, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they rank 94th, but, you know, if they lose one or two more guys, you know, it's I'm not sure exactly how that would impact the ranking, but it's definitely not going to be in a good way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Dyson May St. Juice is gone as well. Mm-hmm. They lost, like, everybody. But, like, here's the big picture I want to get at. Like, you mentioned last week that there should be three teams ranked in preseason 2018.
Yes.
With those teams being Fresno, Boise, and San Diego State. I questioned where's Fresno State, because look at this returning talent from a team that won so many games. You would think, I know there's a prove it stage, but overall, the Mountain West returns the most talent, production out of any team in the country. The conference does, I should say. It's close. It's very close, because there's only a 6% difference between the Mountain West at 1 and the American at 10. But still, they have the most returning production back, which means something.
Yeah, I mean, it's 6% is not nothing.
Well, I mean, I guess think of it. 6 yards of a football field, right?
Mm-hmm.
That could be a big deal. Imagine kicking a 38-yarder to a 44 or 44 to 50-yard field goal. That's a big deal. So I guess it's not nothing, you're right.
Yeah, and I mean, and if you want to go look for this yourself, it's interesting to see the breakdown by team, because on the one hand you have Fresno State and Nevada, on the other hand Colorado State is the one team, I think, in just searching cursorily, you know, they're having to replace a lot on both sides of the ball in a way that, you know, no other team in the conference is, you know, there nobody else is going to face that kind of challenge, you know, on offense. They're only returning 27% of their production, which ranks next to last in the FBS. And on defense, it's not much better. It's only 122nd, which gives you an overall figure of dead last.
Here's can I give some Rams fans some hope on this?
Yes.
Running game back is still stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rashard Boddy is going to get a lot more carries. Marvin Kinzie is going to be, even though he played last year, fully 100%. Yeah, they lose a 1,300-yard rusher. They lose Nick Stevens. They lose Michael Gallup. Positive thing, Colin Hill played better than Nick Stevens in his first year. So there's mm-hmm. a chance that talent, a quarterback, could be equal to with Nick Stevens, who should be on an NFL roster next year.
For sure. So yeah, and I mean, this is not to say that they're completely devoid of talent now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only Colin Hill, but like a guy like Warren Jackson, for instance. He's, I believe, going to be is he a sophomore or a junior next year?
We'll have to look later. I'm not sure at the moment.
Oh, he's a sophomore. Okay. Excuse me. But, you know, he came on a little bit last year. He's, you know, probably my next pick to be the breakout receiver in this conference. So, you know, they'll be fine. They're definitely going to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have Olabisi Johnson back as well. They have, you know, a lot of highly recruited talent from the last couple of recruiting classes. But it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, because they just have a lot to replace rather than just one or two guys.
All right, so let's do a couple of quarterback thing really quick, because I want to wrap this up so we can.
Okay.
So it's a good 48-minute podcast. So there's some quarterback battles. I went to our buddy Pete Futek at CFN, College Football News. He does a lot of good stuff. So if you have time to check it out, go do it, because it's a lot of work and that type of things. But he put together like quarterback battles and kind of ranks where the quarterback battles I was thinking of. One thing we need to know, we start with, and I'll kind of go off his list a little bit. We mentioned Drew Brown. It's probably going to be Cole McDonald, but we'll see. I don't know. Like, he's the only guy with experience, so I guess it's going to be him.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Hawaii, the big mystery is you know, how many different guys are they going to get into this particular mix? Because, mm-hmm. you know, McDonald's the only guy who has game experience,
mm-hmm.
but they have a few different options even without Brown. You know, they have Carson Greeley, who was their quarterback recruit from a couple of years ago. You know, Cole Brownholtz, I think, was the third string quarterback last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, McDonald is probably the front runner, at least going into the spring. But I think with, you know, the offense maybe just hitting reset all across the board, it's the kind of thing where you have, you know, kind of an open quarterback battle in that case.
All right. So I think so. That's an open one. I think the most intriguing one is going to be Air Force, because it's going to be it's going to be Montel Aaron for San Jose, as we mentioned. I'm wondering. I know it's one game. You shouldn't look too much into it, but I think it's going to be Isaiah Sanders.
I think it's a good problem to have if you're asking me.
Yeah, the Aaron Worthman's going to be a senior. He got pulled late last year, but the only game we've seen Sanders in was that 44 rushing attempt for 196 versus Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
And it's.
See, the big question for Air Force is, you know, if you look at their roster from last year, they only had three guys listed at quarterback.
Only.
Well, I mean, for Air Force, when you consider just how many cadets they bring in every year, you know, all they had was Worthman and Sanders and then Nate Romine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Romine's obviously gone, and you know, I would expect Sanders and Worthman to present Calhoun with an intriguing opportunity. Maybe they timeshare. I don't know if that would be the worst thing in the world, considering Worthman's, you know, he had some issues off and on holding onto the football last year. But they've also brought in a couple of guys, or actually three guys, who are listed as quarterbacks on ESPN. So maybe one of those guys gets in the mix as well. None of them are, you know, highly recruited. That's not usually what Air Force does. But they're going to have some options. And it wouldn't surprise me if someone pops up in the same way that Sanders popped up last year. I think it's going to be an open competition. My guess is Worthman has the inside track, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sanders carves out a role for himself.
Okay. I go Sanders, you go Worthman. We'll keep an eye on that one. I guess the next, we already know Mbuyisi's going to be Nevada, Ty Gange. I disagree with the 94th ranking he has them here. I think Nevada's offense is going to be pretty good. I guess you got Colin Hill, CSU, Boise. Obviously, I guess Boise's is some intrigue because it's going to be Brett Rippon 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the right choice. I guess the other open position, Wyoming, I guess Nick Smith.
I think it's going to be Nick Smith to start with in the spring, mm-hmm. but I definitely expect him to get pushed by Tyler Vanderwall.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, because Nick Smith had like, what, a quarter plus or three quarters of good football in his, what, three and a half games he played. He wasn't looking very good. But with all the guys they have coming back around to him, maybe if he does just good enough, they'll need him to be a superstar.
Yeah, and we also mentioned Sean Chambers earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to put too much, you know, too high of an expectation on a true freshman quarterback. But maybe he gets a few reps. Maybe he shines. You never know.
All right. Any other battles? Because we know Marcus McMarion, Armani Rogers, or Cam Newton Rogers, whatever we're going to go with. Mm-hmm. I guess one big thing, Max Gilliam, who was not happy with us on Twitter, he wants to come in and start. That's why he's transferred. He's not coming to be a backup.
That is very true.
So, hey, with Tony Sanchez moving, mixing things up, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little chatter of Max Gilliam doing a little bit, because Rogers was hit or miss last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely got a glimpse of the ceiling that Rogers had. You know, obviously there was some growing pains just as a redshirt freshman quarterback. But I think it'll help to have options just in case he does get injured, you know, because he did miss, one or two games with injury last year?
I believe a few, yeah. Yeah, because they had to bring over Kurt Palandek, who's playing linebacker.
Yeah, and the only other three guys who were listed as quarterbacks on last year's roster all graduated. You know, Johnny Stanton's gone, Kurt Palandek's gone, Rasheem Parks is gone. So they may need Gilliam in a pinch.
Sure.
And if that's the case, you know, I expect him to definitely be ready for that.
And he'll be there for spring, so that's a big deal. Like I mentioned, Brett Rippon. Anybody, other quarterback stuff we missed? Marcus McMarion, obviously. Chris Chapman.
I think New Mexico's the big mystery.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see New Mexico on the list. Where'd it go? It's probably going to be Tevekka Tuliotti, most likely.
See, I think if there's one situation I'm intrigued by, it's definitely that one. Because, you know, yeah, he was a little bit hit or miss as a passer. But, you know, I'm kind of expecting them to re-emphasize the running game in the way that they did when they were more successful in 2015 and 2016. Mm-hmm. So in that case, I've got my eyes on the guy they brought in from JUCO, Sherrion Jones, who we mentioned a little bit ago, because not only was he a, you know, a very highly regarded guy, pretty sure he's the best guy they brought in their class so far.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we know that they brought in an offensive coordinator in Calvin McGee, who's had a lot of success running the football.
Khalil Tate, anyone? As well?
Maybe he's the kind of guy who can make that offense work in the same way that it had, you know, in the last couple of years. It was a little bit hit or miss in 2017. But, you know, he's a guy I think I'm really interested in seeing what the reports look like coming out of Albuquerque in the spring.
Well, also, Colton Gerhardt could be a guy, too. Because there's that one game. Was he the guy who got, like, a couple carries? Or was that somebody else I'm trying to think of? The one game where they played four quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Was he the one who got a decent amount of playing time? Or was that some other random guy? I wish I had that in front of me.
Well, there was one game where they had, like, three or four quarterbacks play.
Yeah, Colton Gerhardt. Let me just check real quick, because yeah, Tulivati got hurt, the concussion. Yeah, he played. Oh, I want to get right here because I want to make sure, because maybe he might be a guy who can come in. Yeah, he's the guy who came in for, it was a Tulsa game, right?
Yeah.
He came in where he, yeah, he, it's him. He played four games. He played part of Boise State, but versus Tulsa, he was 9-14, 108 yards passing, mind you, not running, passing, but also had 24 rushes for 156 and a touchdown. So I wouldn't count him out.
I guess
it's
true.
I would say that's the. This is gonna be the most. This is gonna be the most intriguing race. I guess you'd have this. I guess the only. I don't know. You have this in Air Force and maybe Wyoming, but New Mexico and Air Force are gonna be the most one to watch this spring.
Definitely.
All right. Anything else you need to add here? I guess Super Bowl. Go Team X. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if we're rooting for the Mountain West, I think we're definitely rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles because, well, actually, I guess that's not true. Mm. I think that depends on where your loyalties lie because, you know, Shea McClellan from Boise State is on IR for the Patriots. But as far as people who are actually playing in the game, both New England and Philadelphia have one guy apiece.
Yes.
For Philadelphia, they got Jay Ajayi, of course, who's been their lead back throughout the playoffs, has played pretty well. And, you know, poor Jacob Hollister.
If Gronk...
This close.
I know, this close to being in a Super Bowl. And they love him, too. They love Jake Hollister.
Well, I mean, it also wouldn't surprise me to see them come out with a double tight end set most of the time anyway and just try to run the ball between the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Easier said than done against that Eagles front seven, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what the Patriots wanted to do.
Yeah, because Hollister, like, he would have been the starter. They like him. He comes in with Gronk with the concussion. He's ready to go. He only has four receptions for 42 yards and has one postseason, one reception, one target, 0 yards.
There you go.
It's whatever. It is what it is, whatever. But he's out there. Who knows? There's been... I wouldn't say more random Super Bowl heroes, but with Gronk being a concussion, if he takes a big hit, which is likely to happen against a pretty good Eagle defense and how he plays, maybe Hollister will show up a little bit. And like I said, Ajayi got traded midseason. He's been playing pretty well. Obviously, I'd give the edge to Ajayi playing better. Would you say, I know the odds are out. I should look it up real quick, but would you put any money on Ajayi being Super Bowl most valuable player?
No.
Not at all?
No.
What, just Tom Brady? Is that what you're going with, no matter what?
Honestly, I have no idea. Like, I want to say that the Eagles' defense will be able to slow him down. It's probably going to end up being someone random.
You think so?
I have a feeling, yeah.
Like, who's, like, random? A defender?
No, I feel like it's going to be someone like Corey Clement. Or something like that.
Corey Clement. Okay, wait.
You know, he's the... I believe he's Ajayi's backup, or he's like the third running back in the Philadelphia rotation. Someone like him, or like someone like, I don't know, Rex Burkhead or something like that.
Can I ask you a quick question here? Because this is a fun... There's a lot of Super Bowl prop bets.
Okay.
There is one for punter and place kicker. Not kidding.
Why?
Okay, the odds are ridiculous. If it's a punter, which, how? I guess if there's a fake punt or something, they score a touchdown. One of those type of things. Yes, it's plus 10,000.
I would put a dollar on that.
Well, you'd make like... You'd probably lose money if you did that, I think.
That's why I'd only put a dollar
on it. I think it's if you... I think the way it works... I'm not very good at plus minus. I think if you bet 10,000, you'll win $100.
Mm-hmm.
No is minus 50,000. Place Kick at least got okay odds, plus 5,000 for yes and minus 20,000 for no. I'm trying to find the full list of odds here because I want to see what the because usually I play a position. They have Nick Foles, they have Tom Brady. I don't know. It'd be cool if J.J. won Super Bowl MVP, right?
I think it would. I think it would be a good look for not only Boise State but for the conference as a whole.
I guess so. So how much is the Super Bowl? Are you going to watch all of it? Are you going to tune in here and there? What's your...
No, I'm probably going to end up watching all of it because, you know, my family is grilling and I'm all about free food.
Of course. I was going to say, shoot. Do you like the commercials like everybody does?
Yeah, although I've been seeing some articles about them and most of them look really lame.
That's kind of annoying too. Why they put them out a week before?
Yeah, I like how the Super Bowl has prop picks for everything.
I'm trying to find. They have Gatorade color. They have what's going to be poured over the Woody Coach.
Justin Timberlake's first halftime song.
Do they have one for NSYNC appearing? I'd put good money on that.
No.
Why is that not the obvious choice? Because I guarantee there's probably something for Janet Jackson to appear, right?
Nah.
I'm just saying. You could bet on literally everything.
That's true.
Okay, really quick. Odds win MVP. Jay Jai's given the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Tied for the fourth best odds. You have Tom Brady.
That's not bad.
Yeah, That's not bad. Tom Brady, Nick Foles, Rob Gronkowski, Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola. Jai's tied with Ertz, Zach Ertz, the Eagles tight end. Where's Jacob Hollister on this list? I'm serious. You have defenders. No, you would think with Gronk's injury, he would have been on the board at some point.
You would think.
I am not seeing it. That's all I got.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I bet he's off the board. You can take the field though at 2,000 if you want. Which is better than plus 20,000 that guys like Philip Dorsett or Kyle Van Noy or Trey Flowers are getting.
Nice.
All right, that's all we got. Anything else we need to add? I think we're good. I think we've exhausted every football angle at this moment.
I think we're all set.
As it is February 1st. So thank you for listening. If you made it this long, tell us on Twitter if you finished the show. Head over to MWC Wire on Twitter. We will answer questions, do everything you want us to do. I don't know. You want a t-shirt? Let us know. Again, if you design a t-shirt, you will get a t-shirt for free. That's a deal, right?
Yes.
And Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, all the places you get a podcast, let us know. Leave us a review. And as always, we will see you next time where we're going to be talking March Shredness.